grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, with all your faithful followers of every age, we praise you, the rock of our life. Be our strong foundation and form us into the body of your Son, that we may gladly minister to all the world through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
A reading from Isaiah. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation. For a teaching will go out from me, and my justice for a light to the peoples. I will bring my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 138 responsively. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me. We'll sing of the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord.
The Lord is high.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me.
You will be made.
Second reading is from Romans. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassion in cheerfulness. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory
Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of the Lord. This is a true story. It took place in South Dakota in a rural congregation a long time ago, a good number of years ago. Little Johnny was spending a couple weeks with Grandma and Grandpa on the farm. And on Georgia always came to the midweek service that we had, and little Johnny had come along with her. And come Sunday morning, they're getting ready to go to church, and Johnny said, "I'm not going." I said, "Well, why aren't you going?" "I can't tell you." "Well, you have to tell me. Why don't you want to go to church?" "I don't want to go. I don't like that pastor." And so she's wondering, you know, what happened on Wednesday that now all of a sudden he doesn't want to go. And she said, "You have to tell me." And he said, "I can't." She said, "Yes, you have to tell me." Finally, she got him, and he blurted out, "I don't like that pastor because he says bad words that I'm not supposed to say." And George is wondering, you know, "Oh, I've been in that church a long time. I've never heard any foul language from the pastor, and I'm wondering." And so she says, "What did the pastor say?" Finally, he blurts out, "He said Jesus Christ, and more than once." Georgia knew that her daughter had not been taking her grandson to church on a regular basis, but she didn't know that he only knew the word Jesus Christ as a curse word or a word that was used that he was told not to say it like that. So Peter blurted out Jesus Christ as well. He said Jesus Christ when Jesus asked him, "Who do people say that I am?" You know, Peter often got it wrong, but in this passage, it is the absolute truth. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. I wonder if Peter knew what he was saying any more than Johnny knew what he was saying when he said Jesus Christ. But Jesus did hear Peter and said, "These words that you said, this proclamation of faith, these words are inspired by God." You know, Peter had paid attention. He had listened to Jesus' teaching. He had seen miracles of healing. He had seen thousands of people fed. He had witnessed blessing of forgiveness and the outpouring of grace. Peter had seen all of that. We too have seen and heard all of those things. What would you blurt out if Jesus pointed at you and said, "Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" Jesus asks individually, each of us, "Who do you say that I am?" Would you say Jesus Christ, Messiah, the Son of the living God? Now, Peter got it right this time. Jesus is the Christ. It's not his last name. Jesus Christ, the anointed, the Messiah. And here we are, thousands of years later, remembering that Peter had the right answer. In 1946, a group of Lutherans got together and formed this church, remembering that right answer.
and Jesus' response to it. You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And they built this church on this rock by the ocean. And they named this church St. Peter's by the sea, the rock by the sea. Not saying that we are going to be the church, but the church remembering that this church is formed not on a specific rock, but on that rock of faith, on that believer. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. So they planted the church, and they named it St. Peter's by the sea. And 20 years after that, in 1966, these stained glass windows were designed and were installed to recall the life of St. Peter and the church that Jesus Christ built upon that rock of Peter's confession. So we sit embraced, engulfed with this story of Peter in the windows. So I'm going to take you on a little trip right now. So look over here. This window, they're in sets. So this set of windows is, I'm going to call this the calling window. We have a net and two fish. Peter was a professional fisherman. This window reminds us of what Peter did for a living. Two fish in the net caught Peter and his brother Andrew were called by Jesus at the same time from their fishing. They were called by Christ. Here we have the keys of the kingdom. This is the symbol of Peter. The keys that were given, we just heard that scripture reading read. The keys to the kingdom is the symbol of Peter and his brother Andrew. Andrew's cross is like an X. Andrew's cross is where he was crucified, upside down on this cross. And it's called St. Andrew's cross with the anchor, the upside down anchor. What is the anchor of our faith? Is Jesus Christ, the shepherd. So here's the shepherd's cross with the top of the crook of the shepherd's staff is part of this cross. So we have the keys of Peter, the cross of Andrew, and the cross of Jesus Christ. So this is the calling window. It tells us who we're talking about. This is the transfiguration window. And if you remember the story of the transfiguration, Jesus went up to the mountaintop with his three friends, Peter, James, and John. This time we get a little symbol of the three here. And who do they see transfigured? Moses and Elijah. So Moses, we have the Ten Commandments, because Moses was the one who had received the law. So the symbol of the Ten Commandments symbolizes Moses. And Elijah, taken up to heaven on a wheel of a chariot of fire. So we have the chariot's wheel and the fire, the wheel of the chariot taking Elijah to heaven. And between the two is the symbol of Jesus Christ. The P-looking symbol is the Greek symbol for the first word, first letter in the name Christ. And this X is the second letter. So this is the Chiro or Chiro, C-H-I. That's what this, and the R, this is that symbol, and the R-H-O, the Chiro. It's kind of like we'd say a monogram. So this, whenever you see that P and the X, that's the monogram for Christ. Monogram for Christ. So we have Moses and Jesus and Elijah being watched, being seen on that mountaintop by Peter, James, and John. This was a highlight. This is a high point in Peter's life, being witnessed to that transfiguration. And the window that is right next to this represents the low point in Peter's life. Do you have high points and low points in your life too? This is the high point. Not quite that extreme. Okay, the low point, what does this symbolize? Anybody know the low point in Peter's life? Yeah, he denied before the cock crows once, you will have denied me three times. And that is the symbol of, here is the very colorful. Sometimes our low points are pretty colorful. Peter's low point was pretty colorful. And he denied him three times. All right. So these stories tell us about Peter when Jesus was living. And these windows tell us about Peter and Jesus after Jesus' death. You can't see, out in the narthex, there is the ascension window is out there. And this window that you can't see right here is the Pentecost window. So here we have the rest of the Pentecost window. The dove as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And over here we have the seven flames for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Anybody want to give that a try? Peace, patience, kindness? No. Wisdom, knowledge, fear of the Lord. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are shown on this window. Here's the Spirit. Here is the cross of Christ. And these hands, now the artist may have made these hands since these are all Peter's things, maybe these are Peter's hands in prayer at the time of Pentecost. But more likely, these are the hands representing the whole church, because the Holy Spirit comes not just for the people who were gathered in that upper room and received the gift of the Spirit, but for all of the church. The hands represent the church at prayer. These hands are your hands, representing the hands here, representing your hands in prayer and in service. The red, whatever this is, rays of light from the dove are the symbol of the Trinity. This is the window. You might say, it's got a butterfly. Oh, it must be the resurrection window. But this is the story that happened right after the Pentecost event, when Peter started preaching, and then right after that, he was invited to come to the home of Dorcas, or Tabitha, where Tabitha had died, and her friends were weeping and in mourning, and they invited Peter to come, and he prayed, and she was raised to new life, raised to life again. This is the window of Tabitha, the cross of Christ still influencing. Even though Jesus had died and risen and ascended to heaven, no longer walking the earth, but Christ is always present in our lives. New life. Here's the key of Peter, and the three flames reminding us of the presence of the Holy Trinity in our lives as well. This event was the catalyst for Peter being thrown into prison. He was thrown into prison because he wouldn't close his mouth about Jesus. He kept talking about Jesus, and he was put into prison and into chains. The chains and the prison bars. Here's the keys of Peter, crossed to form a cross, and the upside down cross, this green cross. Peter was crucified. But he said, I do not deserve to die like my Savior. And they turned the cross upside down. His head was on the bottom of the cross. He was crucified in Rome when Nero was was reigning. The rays of light through the prison walls, through the prison bars, remind us that of the presence of Christ even in the darkest times. If you've ever been in a dark time, you look for the light. Where is the light in my life? Here is the light shining through the darkness of the prison walls. And then Peter connects up with another great saint in the church, and this window represents the ongoing mission of the church. Peter and Paul. Peter and Paul, preaching together. Paul preaching in the big theaters, getting wonderful results from his preaching, lots of people listening and hearing. The word of God and the sword, where it says in the scriptures that the word of God is like a two-edged sword. And so this is the symbol for the word of God that continues. The book is open because it continues to feed and to nourish the world. The fish are a symbol, and they're crossed fish, so it reminds us of Jesus with the cross. But it is, again, a monogram. So we have the Cairo monogram for the first two letters of Christ. If you take the initials for spelling out the word Jesus in Greek, it's ichthus, which means fish. So the word fish and the symbol of a fish has been used to signify Christians. So in the days of Nero, when people and after that, when people were being persecuted for being Christians, and you needed to know if it was safe to enter a home for prayer, or you wanted to invite people to come to your house for prayer, well, while you're talking, having a little chat, draw a little fish sign in the sand, in the dirt. And that would be the sign, the symbol, that the person would recognize because it's ichthus, I-C-T-U-S, Jesus, a fish. And again, the keys of Peter, the cross, the upside-down cross. But this is an interesting one because the upside-down cross goes up, and the cross is even bigger. You can see a bigger cross in that. And the rays of light that come to symbolize Peter in the cross. The two windows, these aren't about Peter, but I'll mention them since we're talking about windows. The other two windows are the sacrament windows. So this is the window of baptism, and you see the dove, the symbol of the Holy Spirit, the rays of light symbolizing the presence of God in the world, the halo or the ring around the dove's head has three red, like the one over there, symbolizing the Trinity. Again, the Trinity of the water, on the shell, the waters of baptism. And then on that window, it's the rays of light, the wheat and the grapes, the bread and the wine of Holy Communion, above the chalice and the host above the chalice. This window was donated by Bob and Jan Williams the week before. You might have not even known this, Bob. This window was placed the week before Aileen. I always say her name wrong. Aileen. The week before Aileen was baptized. In 1966, that would have been. And this window was, these windows were donated by Ned and Shirley Titlow, and these the Tabitha windows were donated by John and Carol Maynard. And I can't tell you the rest of them. There were people donated by people who who were not members of the church at that time. They're not members. We don't have any charter members left in the church. Ann and Bob are probably the closest. And Leon and Vi, pretty close. So that's the story of Peter's life, the rock. So this window is our scripture for today, where Jesus said, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." So when you sit in here, glance at one of those windows and put yourself into that story as well. Amen.